Well, look, I'm going to say a little to you very simply about the Holy Spirit. Because, partly because I've been asked to, but partly as well because I know that when you have a church like this, where there are old and there are young, where are those who entered into the things of the Lord many years back, and you had the incredible privilege of the power of the Lord coming upon you and the Spirit coming upon you, and you knew a very distinct and powerful change. That was very wonderful for you 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or wherever it was. And for others who are younger, that may not yet have taken place. And it's an issue of much controversy. I was raised in a church background, and I alluded to it this morning, where everything was automatic. That's how I put it this morning. By that, I meant that I had given my heart to Jesus, and that was real, and I was taught that automatically I had received the Holy Spirit. I had received the Holy Spirit's baptism. That he had come upon me and was in me, and yet for me, it didn't seem like it. I knew that I had definitely had some kind of transaction with the Lord Jesus. I had definitely invited him into my life. But as far as power, that I did not know. The power, the deep change, I did not know. And so I want to try and say one or two simple things about the necessity that every one of you, whether you're older, whether you're younger, need to get this matter settled with the Lord as to the Holy Spirit. Now, you are introduced to the Holy Spirit, as I am, by opening up your Bible in chapter 1 of Genesis, and you are introduced to him straight away. You are introduced to him, but not alone. Some of the things I'm going to say are very simple. Not alone. You do not just see Spirit. You see God. Later you will discover that God is the Father. Much later. You also discover, after God, this is Genesis 1, Spirit brooding over the face of the deep is how he's introduced. The Spirit, so you'd like to turn to it just to check me up. And here is Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning of the Bible. God created. In the beginning, God created. And then verse 2, toward the end of the verse, and the Spirit of God. So you already notice that I said something and I missed something out. And I did that purposely. I said the Spirit moved on the face of the waters, on the face of the deep. Now, your Bible does not say the Spirit moved on the face of the deep. The Spirit is defined. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And some of you may know that that word that in my version says hovering, what does your version say about the Spirit? Moving? Sorry, what was that? Moved? Sorry? Fluttering. Okay, so brooding, hovering, vibrating. They're all words that go a little way into translating the fact that, and what you get in that word where it says, in my version, the Spirit of God was hovering, you get the idea of waiting to accomplish something. That is very important. The Spirit of God was present, hovering, brooding, waiting with expectancy to bring something to pass. And he's not just the Spirit. There are many spirits. He is defined, qualified. He is the Spirit of God. And he is there in direct contact with what was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. He's hovering over the face of the waters, and he's waiting with expectation to bring something forth. And then he begins to bring forth in the third verse. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for an utterance from God. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Who did it? God said. That's the Father said. God said, "Who is the Word?" Later in your Bible, you will discover that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What was his name? Jesus. So you will discover that, how did the Holy Spirit do that? Or how did God do that? How did the Word become flesh? The Holy Spirit brooded over the womb of a lady named Mary, a young woman named Mary, and brought about a miraculous conception. So, what you discover right at the beginning of your Bible, you do not discover the Holy Spirit alone. Neither do you discover God alone. Neither do you discover the Word alone. You discover God, who later we discover is Father. You discover Spirit, who is Spirit of God, and you discover the Word. And they are together, utterly one in purpose and intention. Everyone seeing this very simple thing? Are you seeing this? So, quite impossible for you to experience Holy Spirit without the Father and without the Son. This is very important because some people that we meet, they are sort of having feelings, sensations, they're looking for them, they're looking for some kind of happening, a touch, something that will just make them, I don't know, sensations. I ought to have them. And so they look for spirit, spirit, spirit. But in the scripture, you'll never find him separate from the Father and the Son. And so, with that sort of little bit of background in mind, and of course there's so much that flows on from this as you go through your Old Testament, but when you come into the New Testament, and I'm going to go back to that verse where I was this morning, now you can understand a little bit John 14, where Jesus, talking to his disciples the night before Calvary, he says this, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How many of you have got a little thing at the side of your Bible that says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments"? Have you got that in your Bible? A little alternative rendering. All right, everyone understood that? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will. You will. That's a lovely thing, isn't it? You will do what I want. If you love me, you will. You will. Very simple, isn't it? I love my wife. I do exactly what she says. Well, you know, I'm partly joking. But you know what I'm saying? Where possible, I live to please my wife. Because I love her. Now, I do not bring her cups of tea in bed, which seems to me a most heathen thing to do. Because she doesn't require tea in bed. She's never asked for it, so I've never done it. But she does like to make her coffee a little weaker than I have it. And I always try to make sure there's enough coffee freshly ground for her to make her little brew. Little tiny things that you just want to please your loved one. If you love me, you will do what I want. One of the things he wants you all to do is receive his spirit. And know that you've received his spirit. And he wants you to have all that he died to give you. He wants to give you all that he died to give you. Like, for instance, he does not want one person here to still be under the grip of an addiction. Now, you know that immediately I say the word addiction, you think of drugs, you think of alcohol, you think of this, that, and the other. But I have ministered to men who realized that they were under the addiction to power. They wanted to rule. It's an addiction to power that carries some people into business, and they get more and more and more and more businesses. And there's an addiction to pornography. That's one of the addictions. And there is now an addiction that is developing among the young, an addiction to electronic media. You check yourself out whether you're addicted to that telephone, to that smartphone, addicted to the iPad, addicted to the tablet, addicted to the computer. You check yourself out. And also examine the results of your addiction. Addictions always lead to total self-centeredness. Total self-centeredness. All addictions lead to total self-centeredness. So the child, the family that becomes addicted to electronic media, the child is wrapped up in its own little world. You've seen it, well, perhaps you don't see it quite so much as we do. In the airport, in our city, we walk down the sidewalk, and if you've almost got to avoid the people that are walking along, you know what I mean? Utterly wrapped up in themselves. That's what addictions do. Now, Jesus died. He wants us to have all his gifts, and he wants us to have his power. The power that comes from the Holy Spirit. The power that breaks addictions. The power, hallelujah, the power that breaks the power of depression in people's lives. Misery. Remember this. Remember that Jesus wants us to have everything that he has obtained for us at Calvary. So I look at this. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, another convincer. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Paraclete. You've all heard that before. My version says helper, but the word paraclete has to do with someone who is an advocate for you, someone who speaks for you, someone who speaks to you, someone who counsels you, someone who strengthens you. That's why Jesus used this, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Simple little words. And the word abide, how many of you have got another word for abide? What have you got? Have you just got abide or have you got a word remain? Some of the modern versions have remain, and they're picking it up. They're picking it up. And then he will remain with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. I'm just trying to be ever so simple here. The Spirit of truth. And that means, that little word truth doesn't simply mean truth in the sense of this is true and that is false. This is true and that is false. The word truth means reality. Even the Spirit of reality. He will come and make things of God real to you. Real to you. Calvary will come out of the history books and become real to you. What Jesus did at Calvary to take away your sin as well as die for it. Jesus did not just die for our sin. He died to take our sin away. Take it away. To take sin out of our lives. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit was there. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of that reality, and he will make that progressively and more deeply real to you. He will make Calvary real to you. He will make victory real to you. He will make the devil and Jesus' victory over the devil real to you. He will make love real to you and in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of reality. Hallelujah. He will make heaven real to you. He will make the throne of God and the love of God real to you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of this reality. And you notice the Spirit of reality, the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, if you love me, my Father. There you've got Father, Son, and Spirit together. This is why we preach the gospel. Preachers preach the gospel. And the gospel is all about who? Jesus. And the message is you must come to Jesus. And why is that the message? Because the Father looks at Jesus. The Father has no other Savior than Jesus. Now you should ask me, what are you talking about? The Father needs a Savior. Well, the Father doesn't need a Savior from sin because the Father's never sinned. The Father doesn't need a Savior in that sense. But does the Father, can I ask, have lies been taught about the Father? What's the sort of lies that have filled the earth? And they filled heaven before they filled the earth, by the way. What are the kind of lies that have been taught about the Father? Well, what sort of lies have you listened to? What sort of lies? God doesn't care for you. God is not love. God is a severe judge. He's going to wipe you off. God is, he doesn't care for his creation. In fact, the whole thing's a myth. These lies that have been taught about the nature of God. You say, where do they come from? Well, you know where they came from. You know they had the source in a creature. They had their source in a creature that's called, we know him as the adversary. The word Satan means adversary. We know that. We've all listened to those things. And do you know, one of the reasons that God revealed himself in Jesus and sent Jesus is that Jesus might clear the Father's name. Hallelujah. Without the Father doing anything except being faithful to his Son. Caring for his Son. Shepherding his Son. And his Son living in fellowship with the Father. And Jesus cleared the Father's name before angels, amen. And you will find this, if you really, and I'll put it to you this way, if you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep believing on him, you will find every doubt that has ever come to you about the Father will be removed. Jesus will clear the Father's name in your life. Amen. He will clear the Father's name so that all of these lies about the Father that have soured your spirit, all these things that have, you know, depressed. This is the way the depression is dissolved. You know, depression that's not necessarily organically rooted, but that is spiritually rooted, that is mentally rooted. It is dissolved by the increasing realization as you look at Jesus that you are loved, that you are safe, that you are not an oddball, that you are not an also-ran, that you are not someone uncared for, that you are not someone who was a mistake. Hallelujah. You look at Jesus, you love Jesus, you follow Jesus, you continue to believe in, and I'm sorry, there's so many things that are so utterly simple. Do you know when your Bible says in John's Gospel, again and again, Jesus says, you believe in me. Do you know what it actually says? Believe into me. Shift your ground into me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Yeah, run into it. Believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Safety. And beloved, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, and he will make these things real in you. Let's take another step, ever so quick. You know, when I open my New Testament, which contrasts with the Old, there is a word about the Holy Spirit that you don't find in the Old. You find that he touched people, he fell on people. He was poured out temporarily upon people. That he stirred and did this, that and the other. But there is a word about the Holy Spirit that doesn't come in the Old Testament. And it's a wonderful word and you've all heard it. And you can find it if you go into Matthew's Gospel. You can look there. And you can find it, chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching. And you go on down, verse 11 of chapter 3, and John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in, with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, what's the new word associated with the Holy Spirit that's not in the Old Testament? You say in? Are you sure? It's the word baptize. It's the word baptize. You don't find it in the Old Testament associated with the Holy Spirit. You find it, it's a new word. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is the, isn't that good? So let's have a little think about, he will do it. Now, you all notice it doesn't say Tom will do it, though Tom may be there at the time. And Tom may be laying hands on you, or Joe may be laying hands on you at the time. But it's not Joe that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. This is exclusively the work of Jesus. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Baptism. Whatever does the word baptism mean? How did they use it in those days? Now, before there was lots of money around to change the color of cloth and things like that, I can remember my old mother, well, she was young at the time, and she wanted to change the colour of a shirt, for instance, for my dad. So she would get the dye. And that dye, I can remember them, they were in little kind of lumps like this. And I don't know how it worked, but you put that lump in the water whether you boiled it at the same time, I can't recall. But anyway, that dissolved this lump until the whole of the water was absolutely this colour. So it was no longer water, but it was water with a solution in it. And this solution had another colour. And, well, you know what happened. She took the shirt and she immersed the shirt and she shook the shirt around and she shook it around and shook it around. She made sure that that shirt was thoroughly immersed so that every fiber of that shirt had that colour soaked into it. Now, that word baptism, that is one of the ways it was used in those days. It was used in that way to describe the dyeing of a garment. The lady baptized it. Amen. So that what was in the fluid was now in the cloth. Absorption. Hallelujah. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm assuming that many of you have been baptized in water, out of which, thankfully, you were all lifted. You're here. All right. I know whoever was baptizing you might have liked to think of holding you under, but never mind. But they lifted you out. He will baptize you in to with Holy Spirit. That is where you must live. Not out again. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, what's in the Holy Spirit comes into you. Just like that subsisted in the water, that dye color, whether it was vermilion, whatever color it was, sapphire, blue, or whatever. Do you ever look at the clothes that you wear? You know, I look at this shirt and a lovely lady named Jacinta brought me this shirt. She is a very unusual lady. She's Hokkien Baba. You've never heard of Hokkien Baba, but that means she is a cross between a Chinese and a Malay. She speaks in a particular dialect and she is a lovely lady. And do you know that her daughter of 30 years old is teaching her to read? And do you know how this Lord speaks to Jacinta? He has spoken to her by dreams and visions because she's not been able to read. And it's her that brought me this shirt. And at a certain time, it must have been dyed, mustn't it? The cloth, I don't know how they do it. How do they get the little blue lines and the grey lines and it's a nice yellow that suits my complexion, blah, blah. Oh dear, aren't we ridiculous? But you know what I'm saying. You understand my picture, don't you? I look at cloth, I look at things, I think about these things, and I know that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the wonderful thing is that what's in the Holy Spirit is put into you. And Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. Jesus' death is in the Holy Spirit. Because you can't have Jesus without his death. And Jesus' resurrection is in the Holy Spirit. Because you can't have Jesus without his resurrection. You know, this life that seems to always want to say, yes. That's the resurrection life of Jesus. Isn't it, you know, some of you want to say no. You've learnt to say no. Oh, life is so difficult. No. The way is hard. No. You know, no to this and no to that. But it's amazing. You know what the Holy Spirit, he makes the resurrection life of Jesus work in you. So that you say yes. Resurrection life is yes to the future. Resurrection life is let's go forward. Resurrection life, and this is what the Holy Spirit makes real to you, because what's in the Holy Spirit gets into you. And what is in the Holy Spirit? Let me draw a picture for you. This is a good Old Testament picture. I won't turn you to the scriptures, but do you remember something about holy oil? The priests had come on them. It was sprinkled on them and poured on them when they were inaugurated into their ministry. Do you get that nice word? Inaugurated. Because the word baptism means inaugurated into. Well, they had this oil, but it wasn't pure virgin olive. You all use pure virgin olive, don't you, ladies, in your cooking? Do you cook? Pure virgin olive, real pure olive virgin oil will cost you an arm and a leg. Most of what you get in the supermarkets is El Cheapo. That's Italian. But, oh dear. This oil, it was thick. It was thick. Why was it thick? Well, it was oil. There was the amount of oil that was carefully measured. And then there was various spices. You'll find there's four of them. And they were each measured very carefully. And these four spices, some of them came from the roots of certain trees. Some came from the bark. Some came from the leaves. Some came from the pith, the sap that came out of the tree. So they were carefully measured and they were ground together, hallelujah, and they were placed in the oil and with the art of the apothecary, it says, and they became this wonderful ointment. So it slowly, when it was poured upon them, it slowly ran down and it smelt sweet. Wonderful. Hallelujah. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means you know what's in the oil of the Spirit now is all the humanity of Jesus. You've got the roots of his life. You've got the bark of his life. You've got the pith of his life. You've got the substance of his life is in the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm trying to tell you? Because the Holy Spirit is not just oil. The Holy Spirit is the oil of the Blessed Spirit with all the humanity of Jesus subsisting in it. So that when the Spirit of the Lord comes into you and you are baptized in the Spirit, the humanity of Jesus is in you, in this sense. You have his victory. You have his Calvary, his resurrection life. You have him in you. Amen? Amen? This is why you can be transformed. This is why the Holy Spirit doesn't pay attention to himself. He brings Jesus, the real Jesus. Jesus. And this is why when the Holy Spirit comes, it changes your desire. Oh, Jesus, make me like you. Transform me into your likeness. Changed from one degree of glory to another. Him in you. This is why you can be strong when you are weak, because he's in you. Wonderful. Just like that dye was subsumed into that water and changed it, the blessed Holy Spirit is like the willing oil into which the lovely life of Jesus in all of its preciousness, victory, kindness, tenderness, he's in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That Jesus is brought into us by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that thrill you? Thrills me. Holy Spirit, this is why in the Holy... You see, I can't have Jesus without his Calvary. That's why Sue sang the song earlier. We sang it, Jesus, thy cross is sweet to me. Hallelujah, for your cross, Lord. This is why it's not just Jesus, thy cross, but the resurrection. I mean, it's a big shock to some of us to find this life that pops up. You're kind of, you're learning to walk in the Spirit, and there's that. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what? Well, I shouldn't feel so positive. Well, it's not you feeling positive; it's the resurrection. I can tell you this: you can get to the place where you go through something bad, and you can come to the place in fellowship with Jesus where you're asking the question, Lord, how are you going to turn around this thing for good? Because you know you will. Don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but you're going to turn it around for good. So you're in the dark. You know, and you go, well, how are you going to switch the light on here, Lord? And he does. Something happens. And you find that in the darkest time, there's something that makes you laugh. Because the Lord shall laugh. And he'll have the enemies in derision. This is what the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of reality, like I say to you. Like I say, he makes these things of Jesus, the things of Calvary, the things of the resurrection, real to you. And wow. And I'm watching the clock, but I don't want to go too long. But before Jesus ascended up on high, when he was talking to the disciples, this is Luke 24, I just want to pull this another word out about the Holy Spirit. And it says here, verse 49 of Luke 24. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Who's that? Who's the promise of the Father? That's the Holy Spirit. He's the promise of the Father. I want you to really do some, I want you to get exercised. I want you to get stirred in your heart about your own relationship with the Holy Spirit, because you understand this is part of the Lord's promise to you, that everyone in the room comes to a settled knowledge, yes, I am baptized in the Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit has brought the reality of Jesus to me. And it's for everyone to know that, to come to that assurance. Amen. Everyone. And it may be that there are some here, I'm not going to make an appeal tonight or anything like that. I'm saying to you that if you go to Jesus about what's promised to you, he'll sort you out. He will settle it for you. And it may be in a meeting when I don't know, but he will settle it for you so that you're not groping, you're not wondering, have I, haven't I, did I get it automatically? Well, I have no witness inside me, I'm not really sure, and so on and so on. And so people sort of dig around having a look, should I feel something down here? No, no. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about those deep assurances. It is settled. This matter of the Holy Spirit is settled. And you notice that here Jesus says, I send the promise of the Father upon you. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now you've got the Trinity again, haven't you? I send the promise of my Father. So there's nothing independent operating here. It's a combined work. Amen. Amen. This is the safe realm. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Shall we take 15 minutes on each of those words? You are endued. No, we won't take 15 minutes. But you ought to take 15 minutes. Endued. Greek word, enveloped. Amen. Tomorrow, my wife and probably I will go to the post office. Down here. Down there. And among the other things, most of the things, there's one letter that I've written. And there's a parcel that I've packed up. And I've enveloped a Bible for a friend of mine who's a preacher. I've enveloped a Bible in a parcel. It's in its own box, first of all, and then the box is all wrapped up in cardboard and some tape. You know what I'm saying? It's enveloped. You shall be enveloped with power from on high. I like this. You shall be enveloped with power. You know, you say, oh, power. Amen. You shall be enveloped with ability. 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 Praise God. That's what the word means. You shall be enveloped with ability. That for which you were not able, you are now able. You are able to live pleasing to God. You are able to go forward. You are able to care. You are able. You are enabled to rise. You are able. Hallelujah. You are able. You do not have to live in it. You are able. I will not. I remember when the wicked one used to sit on my shoulder when I was preaching and whisper in my ear, and he'd say to me, what about this, Bernard? What about that, Bernard? What about your failure here? What about that? And I carried on and carried on and carried on, because steadily I began to find the enablings of the Lord. And I was able. I did not have to live under. I was able. The Holy Spirit makes you able. He gives you ability to please God, to go forward, to rise. Glory to God. So he makes you able to. I remember when he made me able to never take another cigarette. I remember when he made me able. I was not able before. But then he made me able. Do you understand what we're saying? This is what the Lord Jesus died. I'll send the promise of my Father upon you. Don't fall short of that, what he wants to give you. I'll tell you a little secret. As a boy, while a young man, when I began to hear these sorts of things, do you know what I did? I went home and I got down before on my knees by the side of my bed, and I asked Jesus to settle this matter for me. And I groped around and groped around for a year, for 18 months, until he put his finger, and he did, he was putting his finger on the thing that was holding me back. I was loving myself. Pride. If you love me, I'll get it. If you love me, that's what Jesus said. If you love me. And hallelujah, you don't have to wait 18 months. You don't have to wait a month. And those of you who have received the Holy Spirit, and you know you have, and maybe you can tell me the day, or it doesn't matter if you can or you can't, but you know, what have you done with this treasure? What have you done with this power? What have you lived in fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who brings you into fellowship with the Father and with the Son and makes them very real to you? Or have you grieved him that you've been an absolute, thoroughly miserable man at home, or miserable woman? And every time that little boop has come up in your heart, you've said, oh no, no, I've got the right to be miserable, or something. I don't know what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? But oh, the power. You shall be endued with power. Oh, where's this power come from? That's why I say you could take a quarter of an hour and all these things. The power. You will be enveloped with ability from on high. That's what it says. I mean, is it just my Bible that says it? From on high. Amen. From on high. You think of a church full of people who are living with the power from on high. You know? Do you know what they'll do with one another? They'll help one another, love one another. Do you know when the power from on high works in you? It makes the money flow. Oh yeah. You say, Bernard, how do you know that? Well, because I read my Bible. That's why I know that. I know that when the power from on high works in a church, they all love one another and the money flows, and they sell things and they let things go. They're not forever buying things more and more and more. They're giving, giving, giving. You say, where do you get that from? End of Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit came, Read what they did. And they continued steadfastly. And they helped one another. Amen. And they didn't cling. There was a man named Barnabas. You may have heard of him. And, you know, he had some land he didn't need over in Cyprus. So he sold it and he brought the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles used to go and help the poor. Amen. Amen. You just think in your church, are there any poor among you? I mean, are there any who are shut up in their houses? Don't get into your clique. Young women, don't get into your mother's group clique. You who, you know, are supporting the Vikings, don't get into the Vikings clique. You know. There we were watching them. They won today, the Minnesota, whatever they are, it's Vikings. You know, 22-10, wasn't it? I learned a little more about the laws of American football. But amen, you understand what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit, power from on high, that looses the grip of the dollar. You tell me if the dollar doesn't control some of us. Power from on high breaks that grip. Makes you free and looses you. And the power from on high lifts your eyes so you look at one another. You know, and you, wonderful. You shall receive power from on high. Amen. I've spoken for an hour and I'll quit. But you say, why have you talked to us this way? I just want to encourage you. Do you know, this is not hard. This is part of your inheritance to get this settled. So you say, well, what should I do, Bernard? Well, I say to you, you come to Jesus in a simple way. I did this with someone, you know, a 14-year-old girl received the Spirit 2 weeks ago at a conference. And someone, there's all these kids around and there's all these toys and balls in the meeting. And this little ball had landed at my feet. And I'd picked it up. I don't know why I'd picked it up, but I'd picked it up. And, you know, it's not, I'm a nervous type, you know, with a ball. But I had it and I preached. And this young lady, she just said, oh, Lord Jesus, give me the Holy Spirit. She'd been stirred about the Holy Spirit. I wasn't preaching about the Holy Spirit, by the way. I hadn't preached about the Holy Spirit at all the whole weekend. She said, oh, Lord Jesus. So I just went over to her later on in the meeting. And I just said, now you just take this ball. And just imagine that ball is Jesus giving you the Holy Spirit. And you just take that ball, just receive. And she did. She was simple enough to believe that the Father would not give a stone, that Jesus would not give a scorpion, that this young lady's heart had been moved upon in weeks previous to my coming. Nothing to do with me. And she took that little ball and she went like this. Hallelujah. And she received. Hallelujah. Be as simple as that. Those of you whom you know you have received, be attentive to the Spirit. Cultivate communion. Shall I tell you something about him? He's not raucous. He's the Spirit of rest. He's the Spirit. He's not noisy, clamorous. Neither is he a nag. He just says to you and me, just listen to my witness. My witness. He's the advocate. What will you witness to me, Blessed Spirit? I will witness to you of Jesus. I will witness to you of his death, of the power of his blood. I will witness to you of his resurrection. I will witness to you. This is what the Spirit will do. The Spirit is the witness of the Father and the Son. I will witness to you. Do you know one of the most wonderful things the Spirit witnesses? Do you know one of his things he says? All will be well. Jesus lives. All will be well. He's the advocate. All will be well. That's what he'll witness to you. Amen. Finish. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are, what you've done. Father, thank you for planning it all. Such a wonderful purpose that our minds cannot comprehend it, really. We touch the edges of your ways. Thank you that you give the Holy Spirit to those that ask you and you don't give a stone. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is here in many lives. We pray, I simply pray for those, Lord, to whom perhaps this little word is sent tonight, that they will do business with you. And just like that little girl that they will receive very simply from you, your promise. Hallelujah. Any of you big men who have older men and you've never really got this thoroughly settled, you go home. You get down beside your bed. Get quiet somewhere. Get in the car. Park in the country someplace, quiet, safe. And say, Lord, I'm here. I believe you. I want to receive all you died to give me, your Spirit. I want to receive this holy oil that has Jesus' life in it. Hallelujah. So settle this, all this, in the lives of men and women here and boys and girls, to the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.